So continuing. This morning we had a summary of up through Canto 2, Chapter 4, Text 22. And so we're going to be discussing 23, 24, 25 of Chapter 4. And then just taking a peek into Chapter 5. Chapter 4 is entitled Process of Creation. The question has been placed before Shukadeva Goswami. The beginning of the chapter is, please describe how the Supreme Lord acts with His energies to manifest the material creation. And we've been hearing, before He gives the, as Prabhupada calls it, the facts and figures, He's glorifying the process of devotional service itself, glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead who gives all abilities to all persons. And only by being given very, very special ability from the Personality of Godhead directly can one answer a kind of question that Maharaj Pariksit has presented. And by the process of devotional service itself, the Supreme Lord is directly contacted, and He is directly revealed. So, as He's going to reveal then the process of creation, He's going to disclose some very confidential dealings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with His devotees, and of course with all others also. Okay, so text 23, the translation reads, may the Supreme Personality of Godhead, these are prayers for empowerment, who enlivens the materially created bodies of the elements by lying down within the universe, and who in His Purusha incarnation causes the living being, who is subjected to the six divisions of material modes, which are His generator, be pleased to decorate my statements. Srila Prabhupada wrote similar prayer to Krishna, my dear Lord, when he arrived in Boston Harbor. If you so desire, you can empower my words in such a way that others will be able to understand them. Because the message is so high, and it's impure goodness, and here, it's very evident, that's not the motive nature of people. So it requires special empowerment to speak, and special empowerment for that speaking to be understood. So, Shukadev is similarly praying to Krishna, and there's two major parts to the purport. Prabhupada is discussing the mood of a devotee, to not act in a false doership mode, but to act as an instrument mode. The Supreme Lord has will, and supplication or prayer to the Supreme Lord is, please let me be an instrument of your will. So that takes away the imperfections of speech or action, and it takes away the impurities of consciousness, if that is accomplished. And for transcendental matters, it's absolutely necessary to have the right fact that one has that consciousness. Another part of this is that the subject matter is, although it's dealing with material energy, it's transcendental subject matter because it's the Lord's energy, and how the Lord's energy is acting under His direction is a transcendental subject matter. Conversely, it's not a speculation on a metaphysical subject. Although people that like metaphysics may like this section of the Bhagavatam, because it gives them something they can, at least they think, that they can speculate about. Oh, it says something over here, it says something over there, I read something over there, I read something over there, let me see if I can cross-reference this thing with that thing. On a speculative platform. So, Prabhupada's stating, announcing, this is not metaphysical speculation. This is knowledge that was imparted from the personality of Godhead to Brahma. Brahma imparted it to Narada. Narada imparted it to Vyas. Vyas imparted it to Shukadeva Goswami. Shukadeva Goswami is just giving this transcendental knowledge. There's facts and there's figures, but it's not speculated or empirically derived by inspection and sense measurements. Although there may be facts and figures. It's not that kind of presentation. So another point that's made is there's great appreciation here. There you go. You're supposed to sit over there.
I'm supposed to sit here. I can see better.
Huh?
I can see better.
Okay. As you wish. Now I'll have to get you another cushion because I know, but that's the less budgety way that hosts do things. The last three verses of chapter 4, process of creation, canto 2. This morning we did a summary of everything up to this point, canto 1, first part of canto 2, just summary. Purport, Prabhupada writes, the intelligent man can see without mistake that any material creation, whether his own body or a fruit or a flower, cannot beautifully grow up without the spiritual touch. The greatest intelligent man of the world, or the greatest man of science, can present everything very beautifully, only insofar as the spirit life is there, and insomuch as the spirit touch is there. Therefore, inductively reasoning, the source of all truth is the Supreme Spirit, and not gross matter as wrongly conceived by the gross materialists. Chance is not accepted. We get information from the Vedic literature that the Lord Himself first entered the vacuum of the material universe, and thus all things gradually developed, one after another. How did it all begin? Origins of life. In this very high-tech presentation by the information technology folks in Portland, Oregon, or Seattle, Washington, I forget the name of the organization. There's one theoretical biologist who says it's a series of academic personalities that are interviewed in the kind of the voice behind all the high-tech video animation. And one of them says, you know, I sometimes wonder why people want to speak about anything else than this question. It's the question that is behind all questions. How does it all come to being? And then he goes off into information and intelligent design. Unraveling DNA and finding out the code of information that determines how life comes into being. When the obvious question is, how does the DNA information get impacted? Anyway. In other words, the inference is that the information for the design of creation comes from the strands of DNA. And that determines life. So what determines that? Whenever there's, but they infer it by saying that, when what's his name who owns Microsoft wants to create information systems, it doesn't come by random processors, it comes by intelligent persons who make the programs that create the information rich systems. And so why would the information rich DNA strands have come about by chance? It's not plausible. It's not possible. It's not sensible. Well, how is such a person going to reach the conclusion of the following sentence? By method of experimental science. We get information from the Vedic literature that the Lord Himself first entered the vacuum of the material universe, and thus all things gradually developed one after another. So then Prabhupada explains the references in the verse. Two, he's offering his prayers to the Supreme Lord for empowering his speech. Two things are identified. He who enlivens the materially created bodies of all elements by lying down within the universe. So that's described in the Vedic literature. Within the Mahatattva, he lies down in the causal ocean. The question was raised the other day, if the Lord is lying down in the causal ocean, where's the causal ocean resting on? Because any ocean that we know of, there's an ocean bottom. And there's the, you know, the planet or whatever it is that supports the ocean bottom. So what does the causal ocean rest on if the Lord lies down in it? It's like, you know, what is the, if super soul is within the heart and there's a heart transplant, does super soul and this individual soul get transposed from that position to another position? He's not dependent upon the physical elements, it's the other way around. He can lie in the causal ocean, and the causal ocean is just there because he has his inconceivable potencies. He doesn't need to take swimming lessons to lie in the causal ocean either, or have some, you know, special flutter kick that keeps him floating. It's just his transcendental potencies. And by his presence within Mahatattva, then one thing after another, the things evolve because of his presence. Were he not present, conversely, without the touch of spirit, matter is dormant. So if you don't go to that Vedic source and understand the Lord's spiritual presence makes it happen, whatever it is, the cause and effects that follow, you just look at the cause and effects and say primordially, it happens because it's just inherent in matter, that the properties of matter are such that they make things happen. Anyway. It is not within our experience, nor can the scientist demonstrate it by its happening, just hearing Prabhupada challenge in that way. And nor will they ever discover by their methodology, with their envious spirit, the message that the Vedas discloses for those who are non-envious. They will never know. They will never know. And endlessly they'll come up with other ideas that will leave them in the position of not knowing. Then this reference here about the 16. Here's the statement. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who in his Purusha incarnation causes the living being to be subjected to the 16 divisions of the material modes, which are his generator. So the 16 are the 5 and the 11. The 5 material elements and the 11 senses. The 11 senses are the mind, the 6 working senses, five working senses and 5 knowledge acquiring senses, making 11, plus the material elements of being 5 makes 16. So the point here is that the Lord generates those when the Pradhan is differentiated by the Lord's glance, then those 16 become manifested, and from those 16, then they're provided for the living entity to make up his body. So those 16 divisions of material modes, which are his generator, meaning the bodies of the living entities, the bodies, so the Supreme Lord is the spiritual touch, this is the theme here, that provides these 16. He enters into the cosmic manifestation, one by one things unfold. To that same Supreme Lord, I'm dependent upon for my power of speech. Even for speaking mundane sounds, when to speak of spiritual sounds. May that Supreme Lord empower my speech. So it's the same Supreme Lord, in other words, who gives the capacity to Hiranyakashipu to terrorize the universe as the same Supreme Lord who comes to protect Prabhupada. This is the same Supreme Lord who gives intelligence to the Darwinian evolutionists to come up with whatever they come up with, as it does to the personality of the devotee who understands the personality of Godhead and speaks about him. And the devotee understands that, or of Shukadeva Goswami's caliber, he understands that. And he's praying for the spiritual empowerment to speak the right thing. And Prabhupada ends the purport by saying, not only he's praying for the potency to speak the right thing, but he's also praying to do it in the right consciousness. And he's also praying for those who are going to hear the message, that they receive it with realization. This was previously stated, but now Prabhupada is describing it again. For those that don't receive this knowledge in the proper way, they're enamored, they're captured by the allure of the material energy to try to enjoy it. But the personality of Godhead is not so allured or enamored. This was stated earlier, and Prabhupada is restating it. His real business is not the desire supplier agent. And he's just so busy because so many people have so many desires, he doesn't get a break. But that's not his primary essence and function. His primary essence and function is enjoyment. But his enjoyment is not at all like the enjoyment of the materially conditioned soul. Now, what his enjoyment is described more as the cantos unfold, but for our purposes here, Prabhupada has disclosed already from our morning discussion, his enjoyment is the loving relationship that he has with each devotee, each one of us, even the aspiring devotees. It's not just hearing our prayers and fulfilling our prayers, and that's, you know, Krishna's life is fulfilling our requisition slips. But Krishna's enjoyment is the loving relationship that we exchange with him. And as much as we can recognize that's what devotional service essence really is, or as Prabhupada has been explaining, the true gift that Krishna wants to give us, and that Shukadeva Goswami wants to point our attention in the direction of, then we'll achieve perfection. At least we're being set on the path to achieve perfection through the medium of devotional service. So we can offer our prayer as Shukadeva Goswami is offering his, to have his words empowered, to have our hearing of his words likewise empowered, because otherwise we'll hear other stuff, like how we can fulfill desires, or how we can minimize our suffering, or something like that. How we can put some more items in our information basket. How we can hear, empowered by the same Supreme Lord that Shukadeva Goswami is praying to hear this message in such a way that our exchange of loving service with Krishna awakens our full understanding of him in truth. And Prabhupada concludes like this. The beautiful arrangement behind all material manifestations is therefore made possible by the energy of the Lord, and the individual living entity can only pray to the Lord to understand it properly. We can understand it properly through devotional service. The medium of realization is devotional service. And the power of that medium of devotional service is the Supreme Lord. And the recipient is this gata vyalikam bhakta, the devotee who, without pretense, makes that prayer and tries to carry out service in that same manner. Two more to end the chapter. Text 24. Namastasmai Bhagavate Vasudevaya Vedase. In the purport, Prabhupada draws special attention to this Vedase. Papur Jnanam Ayum Somya Yan Mukham Buru Buruha Vasam. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Srila Vyasadeva. That's Shukadeva's offering obeisances to his father, but specifically to the one who is from whom he heard Srimad Bhagavatam. He wants the Supreme Lord to empower him, but he's not jumping over Vyasadeva. He's offering his obeisances to Vyasadeva. The incarnation of Vasudeva, who compiled the Vedic scriptures, the pure devotees drink up the nectarian transcendental knowledge dropping from the lotus-like mouth of the Lord. So, Vedhase, Prabhupada highlights it in the first verse, the first line of the purport. Vedhase, the compiler of the system of transcendental knowledge. So, Shridhar Swami and Jiva Goswami both say this refers to Vyasadeva. And because, so Vyasadeva, as Shukadeva heard it, then others who hear from Vyas or from Shukadeva is equivalent to hearing from Vyas, they can also drink this nectar. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has a other rendering of this word Vedase, and it means Krishna, because Vyasadeva is an incarnation of Krishna, or Vasudeva. And so, Krishna, this gets esoteric, but stand by. From the mouth of Krishna, whatever Krishna says is like nectar. And Krishna passes that nectar through his mouth to the damsels of Braja. And they taste that nectar from Krishna. And they become very enlightened. So as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur takes it, that as the damsels of Braja become enlivened by the nectar from the mouth of Krishna, and as Shukadeva Goswami has become enlivened by the nectar from the mouth of Vyas, so either way, we can take the nectar that comes from Shukadeva Goswami and become enlivened like the gopis or like Shukadeva. But we have to hear that whichever way it happens, one has to hear in this empowered way, with no pretension, with being fixed in really what the purpose is. And Shukadeva Goswami has cleared away the other stuff so that we can understand and enter onto the path of what the real purpose is. Directly experiencing Krishna. And these messages are the nectar. Coming from Vyas is an incarnation of Vasudeva, Krishna. Here's how it ends. The pure devotees of the Lord can equally relish the nectar in the form of profound philosophical discourses, in the form of kissing by the Lord in the rasa dance, as there is no mundane distinction between the two. That is, hearing from Shukadeva Goswami speaking this, or the gopis experiencing nectar from Krishna's lips in the rasa dance. That's up there. And the chapter ends. My dear king, Sukadeva speaking to Maharaj Parikshit, Brahma, the firstborn, on being questioned by Narada, exactly appraised him on this subject, as it was directly spoken by the Lord to his own son, who was impregnated with Vedic knowledge from his very birth. So what's being said here is, bravo, very good question. There was such a good question that you've asked that I want you to know that Narada asked the same question of Brahma, and I want to tell you what Brahma said, and that way I can answer your question. And it's the way of disciplic succession, as Prabhupada explains in the purport. The way of disciplic succession is that one repeats what one has heard. And of course, he's going to say it in the Shukadeva Goswami way. It's not like he had a tape recorder and just plays back the tape recorder. But, nor that is that the necessity for each and every one of us. But that the essence of that message is preserved, that is our responsibility. And that's the way of transcendental knowledge. Once again, we don't have access to this understanding, even if we have the facts and figures that are about to come. If you have the technology down, still you don't have the knowledge. The knowledge is the relationship between the Supreme Lord and his energies. Not just the technology of how about the pushes and the pulls, the causes and the effects of things. The relationship, the intimate relationship with Krishna. One who has an intimate relationship with Krishna can know the intimate relationship of Krishna with his energies and explain it in that way. And one who doesn't can't. And one who can't will not present the knowledge properly. It's the exclusive property of the devotees. They don't even need to have a copyright and a franchise. It's inaccessible otherwise. And so because he's in that disciplic succession, Sukadeva Goswami, and he has the realization, he's now going to share that with Maharaj Parikshit. So just quickly jump over to the chapter 5 in the beginning. Narada approached Brahma and asked the same question that Maharaj Parikshit asked Sukadeva Goswami. He asked, O chief, among the demigods, the firstborn living entity, I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Please tell me that transcendental knowledge which specifically directs one to the truth of the individual soul and the super soul. My dear father, please factually describe the symptoms of this manifest world. What is its background? How is it created? How is it conserved? And under what control is all this being done? Prabhupada's comment is, these are good questions. This is the cause and effect of material creation. And rightly so, because Brahma is the creator and he became perfected in Vedic knowledge even before he performed creation. And he received the benediction from the personality of Godhead that he would be able to carry out the act of creation without the presence of false ego, so that he could understand perfectly that he was the instrument and not the creator. And he understood the technology of it all, because he had to do it. Can you please describe it? And the indirect implication is, by understanding this knowledge in the fifth chapter, this process of creation, we can understand something of the relationship between the individual soul and the super soul. And that super soul, Maya Dyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam, the super soul is overseeing all the activities of the moving and non-moving living beings. Or he's overseeing all the activities of Prakriti. And so part of the activity of Prakriti is the act of creation. So it directly deals with, and it indirectly deals with, the subject of the individual soul and the supreme soul, although speaking about material nature. What's in the background? How does it actually take place? How is everything maintained? Under whose control is all this being done? Please disclose this. Be nice to be able to go into a science class and ask your professor that question and get a good answer. So what follows, it starts to get technical, but and the question was already asked, you have to understand all that technical stuff in order to go back to Godhead. So that question has been addressed already. Although it's not not necessary to understand the technical aspect, at least one should understand this essence that in the background is the personality of Godhead. And whatever wonderful creations come from the Supreme Lord, we should remain very mindful that it's coming from the Supreme Lord and not become bewildered by the majesty of it all, or the complexity of it all. One can marvel at the Supreme Lord's capacity to make this all happen and remain completely invisible. And moreover, have people believe that he doesn't exist by his deluding potency. So what we reviewed this morning from chapter 4 is very important to bear in mind as we start discussing some of the technical things. Any discussion? Let's see if we can keep our schedule because we got a little bit started late. Yeah. Madhusudan.
Yes, ma. It appears like one has to be really very, very intelligent in order to be fixed in Krishna consciousness, because otherwise, there are so many other things going on, and we understand that intelligence is the thing that guides.
Well, intelligence, not in the material sense of intelligence, but yes, one has to be intelligent. But that intelligence is something that Krishna supplies. So don't worry. And he has a big warehouse. The Dhammi Bodhi Yogam Tham. So what we need to do from our side to acquire that intelligence, or to be recipients of that intelligence, satata yuktanam bhajitam priti purvakam, that's your credential. Always endeavor with great faith and love trying to serve Krishna. And he will supply the intelligence to keep you steady on the path. The material tendency is, you know, to not look to that intelligence to stabilize things or to continue to give direction to things, but to turn to other shelters. The intelligent devotee doesn't, like reflex, turn to those things, but turns to Krishna. Is Arun here? No. Arun was sharing something yesterday evening at the Bhakti Bhikshu gathering where in the workplace something happened repeatedly. It was, you know, a disturbing person with disturbing communications, and once again a disturbing communication, and he almost, you know, fell right into the trap of the material energy to get disturbed and snap at the person. But he thought, let me see if I can remain Krishna conscious through this situation, and tried his best to remain Krishna conscious in his communication. And at once there was reciprocation from Krishna that that was the right choice to make. So to stay on the side of receiving the intelligence from Krishna how to stay fixed in his service, even in trying circumstances, even in the workplace, can give one realization of Krishna, even when one's not mature in devotional service. Krishna doesn't only reciprocate with devotees that have been at it for a long time. Krishna reciprocates with those that apply the principle of devotion. He supplies, it's one can experience it. Krishna supplies intelligence. And yes, one has to be intelligent, but not materially intelligent. One has to be spiritually intelligent. Intelligent enough to know that my intelligence is quite limited. I require another intelligence. Krishna! And he supplies that intelligence. Like that. Poof. You know that it's not coming from you. It's coming from Krishna. Just another little anecdote on this. I was recently in Washington, D.C., and while there I was invited to make a presentation at Fannie Mae. For those of you that are don't know much about finance, like myself, Fannie Mae is an organization that makes arrangement for mortgages. You people buy shares of Fannie Mae and they turn around and turn their money into mortgages for people, and they give it at X percent, and they give you something less than X percent, and that's what they do. They broker mortgages. Big building. Multiple buildings in Washington. So there's a lot of Indian, you know, software technician guys that work there. So they have their little interest group amongst so many other people. They have their little interest group, and I forget what they call their interest group, the Hindu group or something like that. So I was invited to speak on Bhagavad Gita. So I decided I would speak Vishwanath Chakravarti, Baladev Vidya Bhusan's five main topics of Bhagavad Gita. And I was using PowerPoint to do it and the Bhagavad Gita Interactive. And when you're describing, when that Bhagavad Gita Interactive describes the topic Ishwara, there's one section where, very much like it's described here in the purport, the individual soul and the relationship with the Supreme Soul can be understood there's a statement, by both meditation and by work. And that was the first question that was asked. How is it that by work you can realize the super soul? And I said, you know, it's funny, the same first question that came when I made this presentation at Microsoft. How by work you can realize super soul, please? And, but here's the answer. It's right here in the pages of the Bhagavatam. By performing work in a prescribed way, that is, following the codes of Dharma, you have your psychophysical nature, so you have some duty, and you do your duty according to the codes of Dharma, and you're detached from the fruits of the work, and you offer the fruits to the Supreme, so you get a little lift of your covered consciousness, and in that more purified state of consciousness, by the assistance of hearing from transcendental souls, one can perceive the super soul, just like Arun's experience at work. Super soul just made this arrangement. The configuration of matter was set in motion, and I could have responded by getting angry, but instead of getting angry and reacting to the circumstance, I thought of Krishna. And Krishna changed the configuration of matter. Just like that. So that's a faith builder. I'm going to stay on Krishna's side because I don't like that other energy. The reactive mode of dealing. Whatever the outcome, I feel safe over here. Relationship with Krishna can be realized progressively more and more, even in the workplace or in any circumstance. Yes, it does require intelligence. Fortunately, Krishna has a big supply. He's very generous. Anything else? All questioned out for this morning. So we'll take a break. Then we'll break. Then we'll chant in and we'll resume.